Today's scripture is Luke 15, verse 11 to 32. The word of the Lord says, Jesus continued, There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed his pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods of the pigs that were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on to him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, so they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, and you never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat, so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being here today. Thank you for childminding, and I pray that he will learn, Jax will learn through the leaders that will serve. And thank you for bringing us all here together to know more about you. And thank you for Justin, who will preach his sermon today. Amen.
Sure. Thank you for playing that, Nathaniel. That was a song from Urbana 12. The main themes were in Luke, and I really love that song because it just really touches the key points of the prodigal son. And as Auntie Winnie said, you guys have probably know the prodigal son a lot better than I do. You've studied it so many different times, and you probably understand the meaning behind it even. Also, so I'm actually going to spend a little bit of time sharing and exegeting this, but mostly I'm actually going to be sharing some of my own personal stories on how this passage has influenced and impacted my life. One of the things that I've always been taught, whenever you lead Bible studies or preach on something that is on scripture that has actually changed your life. So this is one of the scriptures that have changed, that has really changed my life and drastically impacted me. So I'm going to paint this picture. If you can imagine with me a little bit, that there's this scenario, there's this younger son, there's these two sons. Let's focus on the younger son for a moment here. So the younger son goes up to his father and he says to his father, "Father, give me my share of the inheritance or my share of the estate." Now, what is that actually implying? What is that actually entailing? Well, usually when you think about inheritance, you think about something that is passed off after you die. You write a will and they get it, and then the inheritance, it goes to the next of kin, usually. So even this very statement that this son is making, he's basically saying to his father, "Father, I wish you were dead. Give me what is mine. You are dead to me right now." And you know what the crazy thing is? This father is probably a wealthy man, as we find out later in the passage. The crazy thing is he gives it to his son. He divides his inheritance. He liquidates about a third of what he has and gives it to the son. And then the next day, the son leaves and goes. That's crazy. The fact that, could you imagine like going up to your family, going up to your parents and saying, "Mom, Dad, give me what is mine. I'm heading out." And they actually give it to you? That makes no sense. It really makes no sense. Like, first of all, you would think that the father is very irresponsible in this, but you also think that the son is very selfish and greedy in this. But then the son goes and he lives life. He does all these fun things. I just picture this as he's going to Vegas and he's just living the high life right now. He's living in the penthouse suites. He's going to the clubs. He's playing slots. He's playing the cards at the high rollers tables. Like, I could just imagine this. And he's got this group of people, men and women, that are just wandering around, just encouraging him, saying, "You're awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome." But then what happens? What happens? It's like something happens to the point where he loses everything. And it gets to the point where he even hires himself to feed the pigs. So even the implication of pigs in this time, they are the lowest of lows. They are the most unclean animal around. Jewish people do not eat pigs. So the fact that this guy, he's probably in another country, and he's feeding the pigs, and he's longing to eat the slop that he's feeding the pigs. That is desperation, my friends. That is, you've hit rock bottom. Some people would say that you are, like, that would be equivalent to, say, living in a place in West Vancouver, then the next moment you're stuck in the downtown east side. You've hit rock bottom. You're staying in a shelter. You're lining up for food. it really sucks. So then he goes back to his father. Then he starts realizing, oh, I had something with my father. I had something with him, and it was beautiful. But I'm not worthy to be his son anymore. I've caused dishonor. I've caused disgrace to my father and my family. So maybe he'll just get a chance to hire himself as a servant. He goes back, and then, I'll stop there for now, and I'll share a bit about my story. I found that I connected to the younger son in this way. I would say throughout high school and university. As I was going through high school, as I was saying, quite often I wander around, what was my equivalent to Father, give me my share of the inheritance. Give me the thing, what's rightfully mine. Well, I always thought, even though I was a Christian my whole life, I was like saying, God, I want to be popular. I want to be well-respected. I want to have the gifts and skills that people can acknowledge and respect me for. So I asked for those. God gave me some unique networking gifts from my travels, from all my co-op experiences. He gave me athletic abilities from my 13 years of judo. He gave me a lot of friends. He gave me a lot of people. I coached judo. I had the respect. I did well in engineering. I had all that stuff. And even though I was calling myself a Christian the whole time, what was happening was that deep down in my heart of hearts, I was actually doing that. I was doing all this stuff for myself. This was my equivalent to living the life for myself. This is me squandering my gifts to make me look good. And this is still an ongoing challenge that I go through around self-adulation. And even as I stand up here preaching today, I am constantly reminding myself in the back of my mind, Justin, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about you. This is the thorn in my side. So I went through high school, went through university. I made a name for myself. I was well-respected in school. I was well-respected amongst my peers. I had lots of friends. I was in some decent relationships. And now I was going into full-time ministry. I was heading into the internship with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. I get sent out to Hamilton, Ontario, thinking, I'm going to change the world now. I've created something incredible and awesome and beautiful that is worth something to God. And then what happens after the first month of my internship, of an 8-month-long internship? I tore my ACL. Complete tear. That tear of my ACL, I could not be athletic anymore. I used my athletics to connect with people. My networking gifts and skills were turned off at that time because I wasn't mobile. I couldn't meet with people very often. During that time also, I hear of all the other interns doing really incredible work with their chapters, being involved in their leadership team, mentoring and discipling exceptionally well. And here I am. I'm not even part of the leadership team. I've been given one small group of three first years, two second years, and one fourth year. And that was it. And by the second semester, I actually had to completely pull out of those opportunities too. It was at that moment where I remember sitting there and realizing I cannot even put my shoes on by myself anymore. I couldn't even walk on my own anymore. That was my rock bottom. My worth and my value and my identity has just been stripped away from me. And in some ways, I almost believe that this son saw his identity in the wealth, in the money that he had, in the inheritance that the father was giving him. So what was I doing? Well, I ended up just lying there in my ministry for 3 of those months. I literally just slept on the couch, recovering. And then to throw another wrench in, my grandfather passed away during that time too. So just a lot of things happened during that time, and it It was a very lonely and dark place, and I just longed to have some recognition, some sort of affirmation. And now I'll share a different passage that really impacted me. I was asked to lead a Bible study on John chapter 4, on the woman at the well. And what happened as I was prepping that and I worked through that, we did the Bible study. It was a really good Bible study, and it was, thank you God. Thank you God that it was actually good. But later that night, I actually thought and considered some of the applications that I asked. And as I wrestled through that, I found that God was challenging me and saying, Justin, what is the living water? What are the wells that you're drawing your water from? Well, I was drawing my identity from all these different places, my athletics, my reputation, the respect, all this stuff, my gifts and the gifts that God has given me. And what happened? He took them away. And even as I was discerning to come on the internship, I was like, oh, this is another place where I'm seeking my identity in. Then I asked, what is the living water? Well, the living water was the relationship with Jesus Christ. And immediately it clicked. That was the moment, in the same way that the son realized, oh, I had something with the father, with my dad. My dad actually was a good man. And that was the moment where I realized I was a child of God. But shortly afterwards, I felt a deep sense of shame that is like, I am not worth being a child of God. And I went into a lot more darkness in the midst of that. I didn't feel that I was worthy of his presence. So now as we go into the story, the son is saying, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. That's how I felt. And it wasn't until going all through that internship, even saying yes to joining staff, I'm like, I have nothing to offer to this ministry. I have nothing to offer to God. Well, I kept going. I kept being faithful. I went to Mark West, and I remember really connecting with Peter's story in the midst of that. The whole journey of Peter and feeling like I've rejected Jesus over and over and over again. It wasn't until the resurrection, last day, is when Jesus is resurrected and there's this man sitting in his tomb and he tells the women, go tell his disciples and Peter. Now I ask, why and Peter? Well, Peter just finished denying him 3 times. He must feel terrible about himself at this point in time. But that showed that Jesus, despite his denials, despite him denying him, Peter denying him, Jesus still wants him back. And in that, I took that message that despite my denial, despite me living for my life, for my own self-gain over those many years, for my whole life, Jesus still wanted me back. He said, Justin, I want you back. So as the son, as the younger son comes home, the amazing thing is the father is looking for the son. The son was a long way out, and the father sees him. The fact that the father starts running to him, this is unheard of for an old man, especially of his status and his wealth. And he'd probably have to hike up his huge robes and bare his ankles to run, to just reach his son. And he throws himself on his son, on his knees. Like, this father is completely smashing all cultural and social constructs in this time. And then, the son starts his speech, but the father does not let him finish. Now, if you're in that situation, if you have just denied, if you have just realized and you're coming back and saying, I'm not worthy to be called your son or daughter, and you go back to your parents, what do you think would be the first thing that they would say after what you did? probably not very good. Probably not good at all. Because guess what? We deserve it. We deserve the... I could just imagine the Father saying, "You have no place here. Get out. You're not even worthy to be called my servant. Get out." That is the first thing that comes to my mind in this. But yet, the Father, what he does, he says, "Quick, bring the best robe," which is a sign of honor and distinction. Put a ring on his finger, which reinstates, it might have the signet ring of his family. It reinstates him as his son, and thus saying, "You are part of the inheritance again." Put sandals on his feet, which may symbolize freedom. And then he says, "Bring the fattened calf and celebrate," which is a sign of celebration. He throws a party for this son who just squandered a third of their family inheritance. He throws a party and he says, and he celebrates that he is back. All the Father wanted for this younger son is to be back home and in his presence. And in that, Jesus, my experience with Jesus is he wanted me back just to be in his presence. He didn't want me to be wasting my gifts, to wasting his inheritances on my own self-gain. And when that ran out, he said, "Now come back. I want you back." So now what about the older son? The majority of this passage talks about the younger son, but I think we should also pay special attention to this older son. This older son, he is working his butt off. Could you imagine you being the oldest child and then your youngest sibling takes away a third of what your family has? As an older son or older sibling, you would feel an obligation to help honor the family, to build up the family business again. This older son was probably working around the clock to rebuild the reputation and the shame that was caused by the younger son. He is doing so much work and trying so hard to do this. But then what happens is he goes up, when the younger son comes back, there's this party being thrown, and he's like, "What's going on here?" It's interesting that the son, this older son, is not with the father and not knowing what's going on. And then how the older son responds, it is as the father, and another thing is the father actually goes out to his older son and he pleads with him. He's saying, "Please come in and celebrate." And the older son is like, "You have no right. You have not given me anything. You don't care about me." The interesting thing is, this older son sees himself more as a servant than a son, which is ironic because the younger son only saw himself worthy as being his servant and not his son. And then the father, he says, "Everything I have is yours. You didn't have to ask, just, you're already in my presence. You're already in my house. All that I have is yours. But let's celebrate, for this younger son was dead and he's alive." But what does this older son mean for us now? How do we work through this? How do we wrestle with this? What are some places where we feel like we are more of a servant of God than actually a son of God, son or daughter of the living God? I hear time and time again, I talk with a lot of students, and some of the things that I hear all the time, especially the ones who have grown up in the church, is they're involved in so many ministries and so many things that what happens is they feel they're doing so many things in the church that they're doing it more out of an obligation than actually being doing it out of understanding that they are in the presence of the living God. They serve so much that they actually forget their own sonship or daughtership of the living God. Us people in ministry, me, Pastor Paul, Pastor Enoch, Pastor Christina, Fritz, this is a really tough thing for us because we are doing the Lord's work on an everyday basis, whether that's studying scripture or praying for students or praying for the people around us. And I actually feel at times where I am so focused on doing the work of God that I forget what it means to be in the presence of God. I forget who I'm actually working with. And I forget the inheritance that I actually have. So I just remember, even just this over this past year, there are just some challenges that I've had. Ministry things picked up. Life picked up, and I was just busy, busy, busy all the time. Sometimes legitimately, sometimes not. And it was a really big time of spiritual dryness for my own self. And as I worked through and as I wrestled through that, why that is the case, I started realizing, my goodness, I was actually doing more, focusing more on doing the work than actually doing the work that the Father has prepared for me. And sometimes it came to the point, and it wasn't until recently, until the beginning of September actually, where me and April are working through a joint prayer devotional called Power Praying. I'd recommend that anyways, if you want to work on your own prayer life, Power Praying. And it talks about focusing on rekindling our own prayer life. Just the simple act of praying the Lord's Prayer has really helped me and helped me reconnect my relationship with God. I find prayer to be one of the best, if not the only way, to be in God's presence. Prayer is not about getting answers or making requests. Prayer is more about learning about God's heart and understanding God's heart, and asking and praying that God's heart will be eventually your heart. It's about being in His presence and just being aware and understanding that you are a beloved daughter or son of Christ. So my friends, where do we feel like the younger son? Are there places in your own experiences, in your own stories, that you feel like you are the younger son? Have you hit rock bottom? Or are you able to just feel that you're living life right now? On the contrary, where do you feel like you're the older son? Are you doing so much in serving that you're forgetting to actually be in the presence of God? Being in the presence of Jesus, the one who is our Savior. God that sent His only Son to die for us. Both of these situations shows that there is distance from the Father. I think the older son has a much more, it's a lot harder to identify because we can trick ourselves into believing we are actually doing what is needed to be done. So we actually have to be honest with ourselves and frank with ourselves. But what does Jesus want mostly for us? He actually wants us to be in His presence all the time. And that's in the midst of serving. That's in the midst of darkness. He is constantly seeking and looking for you. Notice that he is the one that goes out. Especially the older son, he goes out and finds you, but he's ever seeking for the lost son also. So would you come home? Would you come home to the Father and be in the Father's presence? Let's pray. Jesus, as we continue to be wrestling with where we connect with, do we feel lost or do we feel more like a servant? Lord, either of these are actually not good. So Father, if we are experiencing a lot of loneliness in the midst of this, a lot of frustration in the midst of this, Father, would you come now into each of our hearts and reveal and say that you are my son and you are my daughter? Would you come and touch our hearts to show that you love and you accept us as we are, and that you desire to be in, you desire for us to be in your presence. So Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're gonna let play the song Come Home again once more. So just spend some time reflecting on that.
Come home.